Among the programs singled out by the commission, it will come as surprise to nobody, was NYPD Blue. No fines were meted out because the FCC determined that the show predated the current standards, but the majority did certify that language and situations on the show were, quote, explicit, shocking, and gratuitous. Stephen Bochco is creator of NYPD Blue and many other groundbreaking series. He joins us now. Stephen, welcome to OTM.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, it's official. NYPD Blue is indecent. What the f*** do you do now?
Well, the good news is we're not making it anymore. You know, we made 12 years of that show, and it really was only in the last 2 years, I would say, that we began to feel the sort of restrictive vice of these new broadcast standards.
Could NYPD Blue be produced today?
No. It would be a different color. It wouldn't be blue. It would be NYPD mauve or something. I don't know. Look, you know, when I used to get letters from angry viewers about NYPD Blue, my response always was, we could have told those stories without that language. We could have told those stories without the specific sexual content. It was a choice. It was a creative choice, which we always took very seriously, and we always tried to implement responsibly. But we felt that in the world in which we were telling our stories, the kind of language we used was absolutely appropriate. And the degree of sexuality that we portrayed really was about as provocative as that which you would see in a PG-13 movie.
Okay, fair enough. That's the verisimilitude argument. But, you know, there's also the titillation argument, and that is of getting people to watch just to, you know, see how far you'll go. You're not going to tell me that that never entered your thinking in the framing of a given episode of NYPD Blue or any of your other series.
That's exactly what I'm going to say to you. Obviously, we conceptualized NYPD Blue to be a show that pushed at the bindings because in the early 1990s, the hour drama was kind of moribund on broadcast television, and cable was just having us for lunch. So in broad strokes, the mandate for NYPD Blue was to mature the medium somewhat. But there really was never any impulse to try to spin what we had into ever more provocative fare so as to attract more of an audience. We got the audience right away.
Well, clearly the FCC has decided that the pendulum has swung too far and that it has to make a correction. And, you know, this all seems, though, so 1957.
Yeah, it sure does.
Did you see this coming? Did you think it would come to this?
Yes, of course. Because when I was receiving 2,000 pieces of mail a week in sacks delivered to my office protesting NYPD Blue before it ever went on the air, what you had to realize is that the FCC essentially serves at the pleasure of the administration. And as the administration in power turns more conservative, the FCC is going to be completely reflective of the philosophies of the administration. I think that's what we're dealing with now.
So you get these 2,000 letters a week in these astroturf efforts by organized constituencies, you know, determined to moderate your behavior. As you go through these letters, do you ever encounter one that was not part of an organized letter writing campaign, but one that was just the, you know, real life experience?
Absolutely.
That made you take pause and go, you know, maybe strictly speaking, I really didn't need to show Dennis France's ass this week. Do you ever have second thoughts?
I never needed to show anybody's ass. I never needed to show anybody's breasts. I never needed to use the word asshole. Those were creative choices. And I regret all kinds of things I've done, but I've never regretted them conceptually. I usually regret them simply because, for one reason or another, the execution wasn't good enough. You know, did we contextualize the moment sufficiently to make it appropriate?
But if you agree that the FCC should have some purview over what goes over the airwaves, then isn't it just a question of who writes the list? I mean, you and I may agree that the ruling that bullshit is indecent is bullshit, but someone has to write the rules. By what process would you determine what is over the line?
As someone who has had a fairly intimate relationship with an audience over many, many, many years, I think I have a pretty good perspective about, you know, what an audience will tolerate. And I mean, I really trust that audiences have a lot more sophistication in that regard than government watchdogs. You know, it's not so much that I object to oversight. What I think I object to is the fact that the oversight tends to shift with the wind. And you never know from one day to the next what's acceptable and what isn't.
Let me ask you one more thing.
Sure.
You're a wealthy man. You probably make more money in syndication revenue in a month than I'll earn in my entire career. So when the fines come in for this broadcast, will you cover me?
You're on your own, pal.
All right. Well, I thought I'd ask.
You won't get fined.
Stephen, thanks very much.
It's my pleasure.
Inveterate television producer Stephen Bochco spoke to us from his office in Santa Monica, California.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.